Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Dr. Bryce Edwards, good morning to you. Welcome to BFM.
Good morning, Mikey.
What's going on with the pot bill?
It looks like there's more disagreement, as you can expect. New Zealanders seem to be increasingly in favour of decriminalisation, but the politicians are not really in agreement about what to do about it. So Nationals come up with a new bill that they think is better, and there are, interestingly enough, there are some supposed experts agreeing with Nationals, saying Nationals' bill is better than Labour's. So it's going to be a bit of a quandary about how they're going to deal with this.
Which, I mean, I suppose that's a good thing. If it's a better bill and it's got better ideas, that's good, but they've left it to the right at the end of the select committee, right at the end of the public submissions, right to the very... It's this time-wasting that we hate.
So, yes, it's a bit of a mess. And I actually don't know what's going to happen. I really don't know.
All right. And that was political commentary with Dr. Brady.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's talk about the tenure of the Winston Peters tenure. He's come up with some beauties lately, hasn't he? For an old smoker, he's come up with some very interesting and non-government press release lines about what he thinks about the tax exemptions and taxing smokers and the possible smoke-free by 2025 that bullet point there that everyone's sort of focusing on. It's not a bullet point, is it? It's an aspirational date. He's just not possible.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of things, actually, that Winston Peters is coming out with at the moment, which I think he's doing quite well, because he's not just being a caretaker PM, that he's, you know, just towing the line and just, you know, keeping quiet and just waiting for Jacinda Ardern to come back. He's coming up with his own sort of statements, like the smoke-free one, but they're not particularly anything that is too crazy, in my view. So he is actually winning some plaudits from a lot of commentators who think that his time as PM has actually been a huge success, and that they don't particularly want him to go away, because he's been interesting without being too crazy. And, I think he's probably right about the smoke-free stuff. He actually, you know, steps down in a couple of weeks with Jacinda Ardern coming back, and I think we'll all miss him a bit.
With a bit of thrust and parry from Australia with Andrew Little over some pretty serious issues, he does wade in with a, hey, your flag looks like ours anyway, so... Shut up.
Yeah, Winston Peters and Andrew Little have been taking it to the Australians in the last week.
I don't know if saying, like, oh, your flag looks too much like ours is taking it to them. Is it?
You know? Well, he's demanding that they change their flag. I think he's being a bit tongue-in-cheek about it all, but he's actually had some very serious criticisms of the Australians in the last week, or actually the last couple of months. He has been saying that they're breaking international conventions, especially on the rights of children, in the way that they're deporting and detaining young people. Andrew Little also has been outspoken about Australian politics, saying that it's venal, which is quite a strong thing for a Minister of Justice to say about our close mates.
Yeah,
he's suggesting that they have ramped up law and order about New Zealanders, and that they've got all these tough deportation laws just for opportunistic reasons, just for electoral gain.
I'd agree with them as well. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just for the sake of, you know?
Absolutely. So what has kicked us off is there was a documentary screened on the ABC in Australia last week. It was made by Peter Fitzsimmons, the old former Australian Wallabies player, and it was about all these deportations from Australia to New Zealand, and he was questioning whether they were just, and whether Australians are treating New Zealanders as the mates that we are. And he interviewed Andrew Little, interviewed Winston Peters, and they said some quite critical things. And Dennis Dutton, the immigration minister in Australia, hit back saying that he should, you know, watch his back, basically. And he should think very carefully before trying to repeat those comments, and think about the the relationship that Australia has with New Zealand, and the fact that Australia helps New Zealand out so much, keeping the asylum seekers from coming to New Zealand, patrolling with their big frigates and things. And Andrew Little just doubled down and hit back again. So we are seeing a real escalation of war of words at the moment, and I don't think this has ever happened before, to be honest, to this extent. Normally, both politicians, well, you know, politicians on both governments on both sides of the Tasman try to be a bit more diplomatic.
I was going
to
say, it's really, normally kept behind diplomatic doors, isn't it? It's like if there is any sort of anyone's a little bit upset, then the harsh words are sort of kept out of the public arena. But
I think that old close mateship relationship is actually dying.
And don't say it's the death of the cobber.
Afraid so. Oh, well, we'll always be cobbers, but we just not to the extent that we used to be in the 20th century. Instead, now, you know, our main trading partner is China. Australia has a lot to do with South Africa and Malaysia. We're seeing other people, basically.
Yeah. Still friends, but we've seen other people. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, that's some people then who we won't be seeing are Steffi Mollies and Lauren Southern, the important far right speakers who were sort of booked to come and play come and speak over here in a council venue. The council, Phil Goff and the Auckland City Council unanimously voted that no, they didn't want that sort of bile beans being spat out on their council property, so you can't come and use our property, our spaces here. Caused all sorts of dramas. The Free Speech Coalition was suddenly created there and crowdfunded tens of thousands of dollars to launch court action to because they were prevented from using the Bruce Mason Centre. But now they're not even going to come anyway. But it was an interesting little thing that happened, wasn't it? An interesting turn of events. And what does it say about free speech in New Zealand, do you think?
Well,
what would you have done, Bryce? What would you have done personally?
It depends. If I was an alt-right speaker, or if I was
what are your thoughts on it? Your personal thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think it is a dangerous move for the council to decide they can't speak there. Certainly, I think Phil Goff was unwise in getting into it, and it turned out yesterday, and this was the news yesterday, that it turns out he had nothing to do with the decision. So it was quite wise that he had nothing to do with it, but he came out, of course.
Yeah.
At the time and kind of pretended like he did have something to do with it, and he was kind of he was boasting that he had cancelled them and that it was because they were so horrible. And
we had a cultural city, we want everyone to get on.
And so the Free Speech Coalition were going to take him to court and say, hey, what right do you have to make that political decision? And so it turns out yesterday, after research, that he had nothing to do with it. It was actually the event, the people that run the centres had decided it was dangerous for lots of people involved on kind of health and safety grounds, and that they just made the decision without Goff's involvement at all.
Right.
And because it was, they knew that there were going to be lots of protesters that were going to make it a dangerous event. And so I'm not sure they made the right decision because, you know, does that mean we're going to close down any people that perform or speak just because there's going to be protests?
I'm sort of in that camp as well. I think that let them come and prattle on their crap if they have to, you know. See who goes to see them and listen to what they have to say, and then roundly dismiss them with all the facts and figures you need. Surely.
Yeah.
You know, if need be, you know, it's like you can't stop people talking. You can't stop. They'll just find somewhere else to throw it out there. And if you can talk to them face to face about it and sort of bring them to task on some of their techniques and their thoughts and that sort of thing. That's what I would like to have seen. You know.
Yeah, I agree. And of course, the ironic thing is that their message has got much more audience over the last few weeks because of this.
I'm interested to know what you think. What sort of audience there is for that far right, that ultra far right modern attitude, which is definitely been brewed online, you know.
I don't think there is much. I really don't. We've seen no sign in the last few years of any increased far right, alt right activity. We haven't seen any new parties starting.
Because it's a pretty shit argument, isn't it, really? most of it. You know?
So I don't think it has much traction in this country.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure how much traction it has in Australia. I think there are a bit more alt-right people. So no. But the Freedom of Speech Coalition, so they have withdrawn their urgent application to take the council to court on Monday, but they haven't withdrawn their longer-term application. So they are still taking the city council to court, but not urgently. And so later in the year... I don't know. I think they will still... They say that they don't agree with the council with their health and safety arguments, and they think that it has set a dangerous precedent, and that they're going to still fight that.
All right, well, good luck to them, eh?
Yeah.
Good luck to them proving that point. But hey, look, but I'm all for free speech. Don't worry about that. Thank you very much, Bryce. Lovely to talk to you. Have a great week, and we'll speak again soon. Cheers.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.